You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Well, the Philadelphia Eagles didn't even need to take a snap in Week 10, and they still were the only NFC East team that had any good. Three games in the NFC East, three losses. Welcome to the Tailgates of Hell. It's the NFC East podcast for the common man. Going to have to start to stretch of things to talk about on this show.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles didn't play, but I thought it would be cool maybe, you know, is there any team you think right now, through the first, whatever, it feels like 100 weeks for me, but the first 8 weeks, 9 weeks of the season, that you think can really beat the Eagles? And you know what? I watched a few of these teams this week, and I'm starting to think the top four in the NFC are all pretty good. And I don't think the Eagles are head and shoulders above the Saints and the Rams specifically after this week.
Yeah, I feel like the jury in my head is still out on the Rams. The Saints are clearly very, very good, and they're a team.
I think they're playing the best football in the league right now.
Yep, and I get to go to the Superdome this weekend and watch the Redskins play them. But I don't know. I think anybody who makes the playoffs is capable. I think the Cowboys, if they're healthy, are capable of beating the Eagles. But I now think that they're going to probably stumble through this stretch without Ezekiel Elliott and miss the playoffs altogether. The Saints are clearly capable. The Rams are good. The Seahawks are not the Seahawks of old, but they're still capable. And the Falcons, you know, they're kind of limping through the season, but that's a team that could be dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah, they get hot. They get that taste again of the Super Bowl. I could see that. So, quick rundown of the scores. Vikings beat the Redskins 38-30 in a tough one. 49ers beat the Giants 31-21 in a score that's nowhere near indicative of the actual game. Falcons whooped on the Cowboys 27-7, so a lot to talk about there. But if the playoffs started today, the NFC Eagles 1, Vikings 2, Saints 3, Rams 4, and then Seattle and Carolina would be the wild cards. The Falcons are obviously knocking right on that door as well, along with a bunch of other teams. But, you know, I look at that, and I guess we'll talk about the Vikings a little bit, but everybody but Carolina seems like a legit contender to me. Seattle, I'm on the fence about, but it's good. That could be, you know, it's been a really crappy year of football, but looking at those six teams, that could be a really fun playoff with those teams.
100%. In it. Especially in the NFC. But I feel like if you go over the AFC right now, it's Steelers 1, Patriots 2, Chiefs 3. Okay, that's a pretty good top three. But then Titans, Jaguars, Bills round up your top six.
I mean, the bottom three there are like a punchline from the last decade of
right,
football.
Right, all that's missing is the Browns. But
and, you know, I'm not even the Steelers are like the most bizarre number one to me because I haven't seen a lot of them, and I know they're obviously winning games, but every time I see them, they don't look that good to me. Right. So I don't know if it's maybe a product of their division or maybe they're just the team that wins ugly. But it's shocking to me that they're one. Patriots and Chiefs, I think both are, you know, probably the contenders, and I could see that coming into a, you know, an AFC championship game. But the Bills clearly are in the skid now.
Yeah, and they got the Pats, the Jags, twice, the Chiefs. They got a tough schedule down the stretch. But you look at the teams that are chasing them, and it's like the Texans and the Ravens, and I mean, it's just all garbage.
Yeah, I think there'll be a little bit of a shakeup. The Jags, they look really good in some games and not so hot in the others. So, but really, the AFC runs through New England. But what can you say? Like you said, that NFC looks like really. Really like a fun playoff if it ended today, and the AFC, it's sort of like, okay, when does the game get played in New England, the AFC championship game? So yeah. There you go.
So elsewhere on the around the league, Jerry Jones is officially on notice. As of Monday, they got the NFL compensation committee sent a letter to the Cowboys owner telling him to cease and desist his efforts to block the commissioner Roger Goodell's contract extension. What a freaking mess this league is.
So I think it's Peter King wrote a really good article about the conference call where Jerry Jones said he was going to sue the league and the reaction of the owners. This is a crazy story. And, you know, the The thing that's that, and I love that Jerry Jones is going after Roger Goodell. It's just so vindictive that he goes this far. But that being said, this is like, because he suspended his star player, this is his reaction. I mean, these are the moves of a senile old man. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about like how the owners could make Jones forfeit his franchise and all that crap, which is never going to
happen. It's an awesome headline, but yeah, that's never happening.
Yeah. But it just goes to show you that, like, Jerry Jones may – I mean, he's an old man. His team hasn't won dick in 20 years. He's desperate to win again. You know, it goes to show you that maybe Jerry Jones will take that Al Davis role and just be the crazy lunatic owner from here on out as he desperately tries to win another trophy. But, wow. And really, Roger Goodell shouldn't be the commissioner next year, but or whenever his contract's up. But that's here nor there.
All right. Well, I guess we got to talk NFC East football. We'll go through the three games, the great, the good, the bad, the stank. We'll start in Washington. Vikings defeat the Redskins 38-30. And what was actually, I mean, it was a pretty entertaining game. Most of the time when the Redskins suck, they're not entertaining. But it was a pretty good game. Starting with the great, I'll give Mo Harris's touchdown. This guy was on the practice squad on Saturday. They brought him up to the regular team. Terrell Pryor didn't have a target all game, so he's clearly being shuffled down. Mo Harris came in, had a 36-yard touchdown on the first drive. It's a thing of beauty. He was fun to watch. I think he ended the day with how many? Three. Two catches, 50 yards. So he really only had one other catch besides that one, but that one was super fantastic. And I'll just say that the Redskins are getting healthier. It may be all for naught because they've played the legitimately hardest schedule in the league, and it doesn't get any easier this week because they're going to New Orleans. But that's my great good. Jamison Crowder, four catches, 76 yards. Vernon Davis, seven catches, 76 yards. Cousin was okay, not great. I mean, he has at least one play that you got to try to defend. And it was the going into halftime. He threw a horrible interception, which, I mean, when you start to pick things apart, it ends up being in the difference in the game. You know, Doxson falls down on a sure touchdown. It's just the I'm sick of this shit.
Well, Kirk's getting nervous now that he doesn't have a cushy job to bounce to and bad Kirk's coming out. So, you know, it was like a big I was in the back of my head thinking that the Redskins were going to be that scrappy team that gets hot and tears through the NFC playoffs. I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl, but I thought they'd be like the spoiler team or whatever. I don't think that anymore. So
no, they're too excuse me, they're too far back, I think, at this point. And the thing that bothers me is this: I've seen bad Redskins football teams. This is not a bad football team. They've had some crappy luck in some spots. They shoot themselves in the foot in other spots, and now they're 4-5. They got to go to New Orleans. They then play. I mean, the back half of their schedule is not bad, but I just think they're going to be too far back to catch up. One more good thing I will say: DJ Swearinger was the rest of the secondary we'll get to in a second, but he was like a man possessed in the second half. That was super fun to watch. Something you haven't seen in years. Just a guy trying to take over the game, but was all for naught. Bad rush defense of the defensive line. 104 yards on the ground for Minnesota. They had zero pass rush. Case Keenum, this is week 10, has only been sacked. And I say the Redskins D-line has been bad, but he's only been sacked five times that's nine games now. So credit to the offensive line of the Vikings. And I don't know. I think I definitely underestimated the Vikings because I thought for sure this was a game the Redskins were going to win. But stank. Secondary was horrendous. Adam Thielen, who a guy I'd never heard of until I started looking up the Vikings last week, had eight catches, 166 yards, and a touchdown. Case Keenum threw for 304 yards, zero sacks on the day, and Vikings were 8-12. The other stank, and I don't know, I don't get on Redskins fans for this because you look around the league, you look at the attendance, and just across the board, the game day experiences look like they suck. But watching the stupid Vikings fans, literally, they took over FedEx Field. They did some shots where it looks like they might as well have been in Minnesota.
I got to tell you, and I don't know if a lot of the fans just left, but I was watching sort of late in the game, and there was nobody. I mean, there were just huge wide open empty sections. And that, I mean, and it's like that in New York. I don't think it's like that in Dallas, and obviously not in Philly, but like the NFL has a real, very real attendance problem. And I mean, we could go into this whole why the NFL is going to be out of business at some point in our lifetime, but it was shocking to me how very few people were in that stadium. Shocking. Yeah. But can you blame Redskins fans?
No, not at all. That's
been over a barrel by Dan Snyder for the last 20 years.
Right. It's been a, at best, mediocre product. On the good years, it's been a mediocre product.
Right.
The stadium's in the middle of nowhere. It's just
a dump.
It's a dump. I mean, it's just when you start to add it all up, it's just not worth it. And then you could go to other stadiums and other places where the stadium's right in the city. You could do a million things beforehand, and it's just not like that in D.C. And I mean, until they build a new stadium, and even that is probably not going to be in the city. I don't know. The whole NFL, and like you said, we could go on this for literally hours, just all the little ins and outs of it, but yeah, that was sad to watch. So up next for the Redskins, they're 4-5. They go to New Orleans, probably playing the best football in the league other than maybe Philadelphia at this point. And I don't know. I think it's a must win. You know, they pretty much got they could afford to lose one more game here on out. They got trips to New Orleans and to Dallas. And then four games, which, you know, two against the Giants, one against the Cardinals, one against the Broncos, and one against the Chargers. You could argue they should win those games, but, I mean, it's the NFL. It's week to week. Who the hell knows what's going to happen? So we'll see. Falcons defeat Cowboys 27-7. My great for the Cowboys, I went on the Cowboys website, and sometimes I'll look up the good, the bad, the ugly just to get some talking points, and the Cowboys headline was, Cowboys left the good back in Dallas. It was just bad and ugly.
I mean, that's a pretty shocking game to me, actually, because obviously Ezekiel Elliott was the best player on that team. But, wow, what a fall off with him not in the lineup. And that's not looking good because they've got a lot more games to play without him.
So looking for something good, Jason Witten was targeted 7 times. He had 7 catches, 59 yards. He's always Mr. Reliable for there. Bad. So you got Sean Lee's hurt. The offense as a whole sucked. And we're going to talk about one guy in particular in just a second. But 233 total yards for the offense, 3.9 yards per play. And this is not some great Falcons defense by any means. They did rush for 107, which doesn't seem too bad, but 42 of that was Dak Prescott. Alfred Morris, 11 carries, 53 yards. Rod Smith, 2 carries, 14 yards. Darren McFadden, 1 carry for -2 yards. So these are the guys who are supposed to replace Zeke. And, you know, in the stank, we'll talk about why he may not have had that good of a game. But, you know, Dak Prescott needs to step up. I mean, he needs to press the ball. He was 20 of 30, 176 yards. And if they're going to do anything and survive and, you know, be in the wild card discussion, which other teams in the NFC keep winning, this isn't like the AFC where you may get an 8-8 or 9-7. Like, you have to win 10 games. And with Philadelphia, Washington, and the Chargers upcoming, Prescott just needs to do more.
I don't think they're going to beat Philly. Washington can beat them, I feel like. I think it depends, you know, where Washington's at and if they're healthy, you know. I think the big thing too for me is Elliott's out, and then Sean Lee, I think he pops his hamstring. You know, this is a guy who, when he's in, the defense is actually pretty good, and when he's out, they're terrible. So I think this is a big injury for them that's sort of under the radar. I mean, Sean Lee's sort of a superstar. He's injured too much to be a superstar, though. Yeah, that's bad. I mean, I'm looking at this team now that a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you thought maybe this could be a team that gets hot and on a run. And after that performance, it looks like a team that's going to be, you know, at best, maybe 500 through this 6-game stretch.
Yeah, and that might not be enough.
Yeah, and Elliott can come back potentially. I think after game 4, he can appeal it. And if not, he's all the way to, I think it's a Christmas Eve game. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're going to lose all of them, but this is a tough, real tight road for them. They don't have any wiggle room here.
Yeah, and maybe even bigger than Ezekiel Elliott, or at least yesterday, was Tyron Smith being out because Chaz Green and Byron Bell, they are stank this week. They gave up damn near the NFL record for sacks at that left tackle position. And the fact that Jason Garrett didn't give them any help, I mean, Chaz Green was in there, then Byron Bell was in there, and It kind of reminded me of that Eric Flowers situation in New York.
I was just about to say, you know, I mean, Tyron Smith is, I think, the best left tackle in the league. I mean, the guy just looks like – he reminds me of the old, like, it's early like 90s.
Incredible Hulk.
Like, yeah, I know. He's amazing. Like, I have a lot of respect for that dude. But, yeah, that's another scary thing. And I don't know. Is he expected back?
I think so, but I mean, it's week to week, so I'm not sure of the initial prognosis.
Cowboys could just be a team that could get it done and got snake bit and injuries took them out. I mean, that's what they look like. They just – that performance, and the Falcons aren't great. You know, they're a good team. They're not a world beater. You know, that was a really, really bad sign, I think, for Dallas and Jerry Jones.
Yep. So next up for the Cowboys, Sunday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. Should be a good one, but that's going to be a tough test. Eagles coming off the bye. Last but not least, San Francisco 49ers off to Schneid. They get their first win of the season, 31-21 at the Giants. I'll do the great. The season is one game closer to being done. I'll do the good, and then I'll let you handle the rest. Eli was, I mean, his numbers at least seemed pretty good, 28 to 37, 273, two touchdowns. Sterling Shepard had a good day, 11 catches, 142 yards. Take it away.
Well, I do also want to add the good Evan Ingram, fifth in the league in receptions with 40, eighth in yards, 443, second in the league for a tight end with five touchdowns. So I hope I get to see this guy play in a functional NFL offense at some point in his career. Because I think he's going to be pretty good. So the 49ers have not led for more than 3 minutes in an entire NFL 2018 season. And he routed the New York Giants yesterday in San Francisco. They kicked their ass up and down the field. I will say that the offense is terrible, but they didn't quit. Which is probably an even sadder statement because they were trying and that's all they could muster. The kicker kicked out of bounds on the opening kickoff in a pleasant San Francisco afternoon, no wind. And then the defense, I mean, honest to God, Janoris Jenkins literally quit. Did you see any of this game?
Oh, yeah. I actually watched the whole game.
He literally stopped playing football. The fact that he wasn't benched was amazing to me. I mean, he literally did not care. JPP, invisible. Landon Collins, he's playing hard, but he looks nothing like he did. DRC has quit. Eli Apple has quit. And with that, I will read this statement from John Dish, given today. Ben McAdoo is our head coach and has our support. Fuck you, John Mara and Steve Tisch. We are in the midst of an extremely disappointing season. No shit. Our performance this year, particularly the past 2 weeks, is inexcusable and frustrating. Parentheses, we won't do shit because we suck as owners. While we appreciate that our fans are unhappy with what has occurred, nobody is more upset than we are. Yes, let's all cry for the fucking billionaires and their owner's suite. Our plan is to do what we've always done, which is not to offer a running commentary on the season. It is our responsibility to determine the reasons for our poor performance, and at the end of the year, we will evaluate the 2017 season in its entirety and make a determination on how we move forward. I swear to God, if Ben McAdoo is the head coach of this team on January 1st, you're going to need a new Giants correspondent on this podcast. Because I will not watch a single game of football from this team if that guy is back. I have never seen a shittier Giants team in my life. In my life. And, you know, I've seen some terrible teams, but I've not seen teams get routed by the Rams.
I've never seen them like this. Never seen
lose to an 0-9 team, and then not even it be close. It's just, it blows my mind.
I mean,
so at this point,
been 1-8 since 1980. That's before we were even alive.
And, you know, the 70s teams were terrible. You know, if you talk to longtime Giants fans who have been watching for 40, 50 years, they say the 70s were the worst, and they compare it to this. So Ben McAdoo, oh, you got to watch his post-game conference. All he answers is, we got to look at the tape.
We're on to Cincinnati. We got to look at the tape.
Yeah,
put those two side by side.
Ben McAdoo. And then a reporter asked him if he's worried about his job. And he basically acted indignant, like, well, how could you even ask me something like that? It's because you're the worst coach in the league. So, silver lining of all this. A, I was afraid if they put in an interim coach, they'd win a few games, maybe get a spark or whatever. they're not at this point. They're going to keep McAdoo. They may win. I think the only game they're going to win is against the Cardinals, and that may be Christmas Eve, maybe. It's right around the end of the year. They're going to lose every game besides that they play. They're probably going to have a top three pick, so they'll have their choice of Darnold, Rosen, or Mayfield from Oklahoma. If I was this team, I would keep the following players. Vernon, Damon Harrison, Eli Manning, Odell Beckham, Evan Ingram, Landon Collins. I would keep Sterling Shepard because he's okay as a rotational guy. That's who I would keep. The rest of the team I would dismiss.
Just, it's incredible how this – I mean, this team was in the playoffs at 11-5 freaking cruising last year just to be here. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And I don't want to hear anything about Eli Manning. He had a terrible turnover. He did not have a good game. It's like the fact that people are saying, like, oh, put in Davis Webb. Oh, it's Eli Manning. It's like, are you kidding? The one guy on the team who deserves no shit is Eli Manning.
Right.
He earned his stripes there. You're getting him killed every week. You put terrible talent around him. You have a shit defense, and the offense is playing hard. They just stink. They just stink. You got no running game, no wide receivers. So I don't know. I guess it doesn't really shock me that they didn't fire Ben McAdoo. Because really, what would firing in the middle of the season really do? Whatever. Just go through it. I could see if it gets really bad. And these corners are an open rebellion against this guy.
Oh, I know.
They hate him. So, maybe I'd keep Janoris Jenkins next year if he likes the new coach, I guess, and he'll play hard. But
it's like the NBA.
it's incredible. No, they shouldn't put Davis Webb. Here's the other thing. Put Davis Webb in. If Davis Webb's not good enough to beat Geno Smith as the number two quarterback, if he was really good, ready to, you want to learn something about him, don't you think he'd dress as a number two quarterback? Do you think a team that's
– He would have came out of camp as the guy.
Do you think a team that's 1-8 would keep Geno Smith on the roster? They wouldn't try to add more talent? It's like he's not ready. He'll be on the team next year, I think, obviously. Probably as a third or second quarterback. I think Eli Manning will still be the quarterback. I think they'll have a quarterback drafted in the first round who'll sit for a couple years. But Eli Manning could want out. Who knows? This is like – this started – I mean, this is it. Here's the thing about this team. They fired Coughlin a few years ago, or he resigned, whatever. They brought McAdoo in, and they kept like 99% of the assistants. So this is still – the Coughlin team in a lot of ways, right? With a worse head coach. So this to me is like, this is the last incarnation of the Coughlin era. This is still the Coughlin era. I'm not saying it's like on Coughlin or anything, but these are all Coughlin's guys. These are the players that he drafted for the most part or is involved in drafting. It's all his assistants. It's everything about him is still around. And now this era is finally over. They need to blow it up from the front office down through the coaches, most of the players. So next year will be a totally new era in Giants football. I hope Eli's there. I don't know. You lost. The 49ers have not held a lead for more than 3 minutes in 9 games, 10 games, whatever it was. It's unbelievable.
Well, Giants might not be the only team with new eras. There could be a ton of new eras starting next year. We'll kind of ballpark which teams those will be. It's the most therapeutic time of the week. Stank Rankings coming up next on the Tailgate to Hell.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, my favorite time of the week, especially when the Redskins lose, it's the Stank Ranking. So, Ben, who you got this week? We'll start with number 28.
It's the other team in MetLife Stadium, the New York Jets, who fall to 4-6, a team that looked somewhat promising earlier in the year. Big, quote-unquote, win against the Bills, and then a battle of the former quarterbacks Josh McCown and Ryan Fitzpatrick. They had that mammoth back-to-back INT play. This team is clearly on the skids, and will probably end up maybe not winning another game.
I think that you put them in the category of they really are who we thought they were.
Yes.
The New York Jets knew they were bad. They got off to a good start, but yeah. And looking at, I didn't watch any of this game, thank God. But looking at Twitter, it seemed like one of the worst games in history. They stank.
Yes, absolutely. 29. The once promising Denver Broncos, now 3-6, they've completely fallen apart, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better for them this year either.
Slayed by the New York Giants, I guess, especially when you see what the Giants have done the rest of the season to be the one win. Oh my God, yeah, I don't know what, I mean, they were 3-1. I thought this was a Super Bowl contending team. That AFC West looked like a freaking juggernaut through the first 5 weeks or so, but I don't know what the hell happened to them, but they stank.
Yeah, bad on offense, bad on defense, no good. Number 30, fresh with a victory for the first time this year. The San Francisco 49ers, led by C.J. Bethel, is that it?
Bethard.
His name?
C.J. Bethard, the 49ers, moving on up like the Jeffersons. They've been 31 all year long, and they're up to number 30 at 1-9. I think they're going into their bye this week. Kyle Shanahan gets his first win as a head coach.
Yep, with John Lynch as a GM. And to add insult to injury, they said on the broadcast that John Lynch looked at the remaining schedule and circled the Giants game because he thought it was the only game they could win the rest of the year. So, number 31, the flip side of that coin, the New York Giants. And it's only because you know who's at 32 that this team is not the worst team in the league. I would say that the Giants are the worst team in the league right now, but we'll put them at 31.
I mean, there's nothing else to say with the New York Giants. This is as bad as it gets.
And 32. You know them. You love them. Give it up for the Cleveland Browns.
They were up 10-3 at one point yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God, this could be – I don't think I've seen them with a lead the entire season. I mean, with that, they're 0-10. They went 1-15 last year. I mean, there's nothing else to say.
This is an 0-16
team. Oh, 100%. There's the only game that they have a shot is they're playing the Bengals, and I think the Bengals kind of suck. Well, the Bengals do suck, too, and it just seems like one of those ones where maybe a couple things break their way. But
so the one thing we got to say about the Browns is that second and goal, I think it was 2nd and 6 with 15 seconds, no timeout, and Kaiser audible to a QB sneak that went nowhere, and they ran out of clock and a half.
You don't get 0-16. You're not 0-10 without stuff like that happening too often.
There you go. The stank rankings for the week. It's getting more and more depressing as this year rolls on. There are 7 games left. Oh my God.
Just got to get through it. So, all right, that's it for this week. We'll be back to preview week 11. God, the season's going fast. If nothing else, this is quick, but it is still painful. For Ben David, Jason Jaconia, you're listening to the Tailgates of Hell podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter @tailgatesofhell.